But okay. Now we were at Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Hey. We mentioned that Rechavam was buying time, and the Ravag says that this was a proper anhaga, that when a person is faced with a decision, don't rush, don't be hasty to make a decision. You wait and make the right decision is better than rushing and making the wrong decision. The Abarbanel disagrees in part. He disagrees in Rechavim's case. It appears he agrees with the Hashkaf. Of course, it's a Mishnah, having Mesunim Badim. You should be slow to pass judgment. However, he says in this case, it was an error because what you did was not irreversible. What he says is that Rechavim would have been better served to say yes, we'll do it, and then take advice, and if necessary, he could change his mind. He has nothing to lose by saying yes. A week later, he could change his mind, or 2 weeks later, and do whatever he wants to do. And he says there are two problems with the way Rechavim handled it. By not giving an answer, it guarantees that everyone's going to be discussing it and tumulting, and it's going to build up the tension. It's a topic of conversation. Will he do it? Won't he do it? What are the pros and the cons and this and that? So it builds up the opposition to a fever pitch. So now if he says no, it's going to be much worse. And secondly, it also gives people time to formulate plans what to do if Rechavim says no. Because that's all you people are thinking about for the next 3 days. If he would have said yes, everyone would have gone home and disappeared. Then he could surprise them with his crackdown, and nobody had a chance to get together to conspire and to form plans. So therefore he says that it was really a mistake on the part of Rechavim, that he should have said yes and worry about it later. Moving along to Pasuk Vav. Vayivatz HaMelech Rechavim es HaZakenim. And the Rechavim, the king, took advice from the elders. Asher hayu omdim es p'nei Shlomo Aviv, who served, who stood before Shlomo, his father, b'yosochai, when he was alive. So by now, I think everyone has been sensitized to immediately realize that those words are extra. They were not standing before Shlomo when he was dead. So, b'yosochai, Lemar saying, eich atem no'atzim, how do you advise? L'hashiv esam hazeh davar, to answer the people... Dover, words. Now, how should I answer the people? Now, the Chazal say interesting. Chazal say that Binyan Zakeni. Stira is a Canaan binyan. When elders advise you to break down, it's really building. And binyan na'arim, stira. When young people advise you to build, it's really breaking down. We will see that Rechavim is going to ask advice of the elders, and then he's going to ask advice of the young. And he's going to listen to the advice of the young, and that was caused a disaster. What do you mean by building and breaking? Because on its surface, the advice of the elders is going to be to reduce the burden, which means you have less money available to do all the building or maintain the buildings that you have already built. So it seems as if you're going to be breaking them down. But really, it's building, because in the long term, you'll be ahead of the game. Whereas the Narim advised, take more money, make sure we maintain the infrastructure. And that will eventually cause the loss of the Aseres HaShvatim and the breakdown. Chazal also imply that it's connected to the Beis HaMikdash, because really the split in the Melucha led to the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because that was how Avodah Zarah became introduced on a much more massive scale in Klal Yisrael. And as a result, ultimately the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So it appeared to be an act of building, and it was really an act of destruction. Now, what does it mean, Biyoso Chai? So it means that they still had the same devotion as they had when Shlomo was alive. And they still had the same chachma as when Shlomo was alive. One might think that after Shlomo died, they weren't interested anymore. Or perhaps they really weren't as wise as their reputation. It was Shlomo's wisdom that made them look good. So the Pasuk is saying, no, these are the same advisors who stood before Shlomo, b'yoso chai, with the same chachma, the same devotion, and the same dedication. The Malbim makes a very interesting point on the Lashon. In this Pasuk we find the expression, Eich atem no'atzim. How do you advise? If you look a few Pasukim further, in Pasuk Tes, when he's talking to the young advisors, he says, Ma atem no'atzim. What do you advise? The Malbim says there's a difference. Rechavam walked into this meeting with the Zakenim, and in his mind there was a davar pashut that he's not going to listen to the request of the people. He wants to be at least as tough as Shlomo and maybe tougher. But his advice was, how do I sell it? How do I pull it off? He was looking for tactical advice. How do I accomplish my goal? What the Zakenim told him is, no, you should listen to the people. So that shook him up a little bit. So when he came to his young friends, he already asked, Ma atem no'atzim, what do you advise? Should I listen or shouldn't I listen? So there's a difference in nuance between the way he questioned. Now getting back to the Maamar Chazal that says that Stira Sakein and Binyan and Binyan Arim Stira, and we see that from Rechavam, it seems that it's a general rule that the advice of the, you should listen to the advice of the Zakenim, not the Naharim. And the Ralbag, in fact, derives this in his Toalios. And he says, the reason is, and before I get into that, there really are two potential reasons. One of them perhaps depends on the age, and the other one is universal. It is the nature of young people, and it takes a gradual growing up process. It is the nature of young people not to be able to connect the dots, not to be able to be ro'as hanolad, see the outcome of what you do. Young people relate to each situations on a short-term basis. On a short-term basis, the young advisors were right. You know, you're coming into the malucha, and you're going to act weak, and you're going to lose revenue, and what for? But you have to have a long-term view. What's going to happen in the future? And the Zakenim said, listen, right now you'll taka lose, and you'll look weak, but in the meantime the people will not rebel, and eventually you could regain all the power and control that you need. So you have to have a long-term view. This is exactly what Ne'arim are unable to do. There's a Sefarnu that the Rosh Yeshiva Zatzal used to discuss with Yosef and the brothers. And in essence, the way the Sefarnu explains the entire episode was that Yosef did a series of acts that made the brothers conclude that he was out to kill them, out to have them cursed, have them killed, and run out of Kal Yisrael. He told the dreams to Yaakov, he was Motzi Dibara. Reuven was the holdout. Reuven argued that he was not guilty. What was Reuven's argument? Reuven's argument is not clear in the original episode, it doesn't really say. But where you see Reuven's argument is later when they were coming before Yosef in Mitzrayim, not knowing he was Yosef, and there's a discussion that takes place. The brothers see that they're having trouble in Mitzrayim, and they said, Aval Hashem im anachnu, we are guilty. We are guilty because we saw the anguish that Yosef was in and we didn't listen to him. We were cruel, we were heartless. But we weren't wrong. Our conclusion was correct. And al pidin, what we did was proper. But since he was pleading and begging, he was in so much pain, we should have done something more lenient. So Reuven says, no. Halo amarti lechem al techetu vayela v'gam damo hinei nidrash. I told you not to sin against the child. His blood is also being sought. It's not only that we didn't listen to his pleas. We were wrong. Damo hinei nidrash. What word does Reuven use to describe Yosef? Yeled. Yosef was 17 years old at the time. Yelad usually refers to a young child. Says the Sefarno, this was Reuven's argument. He is young, and he doesn't see the connection between one event and another. If he would have done this at the age of 30, you'd be right. Your conclusion was absolutely correct. He was out to get us. But he wasn't out to get us. Each event was separate. He was not Roas and Nola. Why did the brothers disagree? Because Yosef was a genius. Yosef was brilliant. Ben Zakunim says a Targum Bar Hakima. When they were learning a sugya, he was smarter than them. And he doesn't realize the implication of what he's doing. So the Rosh Yeshiva pointed out, it's not a function of intelligence. It's not a function of genius. It's a function of age. You could be as brilliant and as smart as Yosef, and you're still not Roas HaNolad when you're young. I saw a fascinating advertisement, which again, I cannot vouch for the science, but it was really quite interesting. It was an advertisement for some auto insurance company or a group of companies, I don't remember even, and they were talking about the idea of raising the age in which children are allowed to get a driver's license. And the headline of the ad said, "Does your teenager drive like a piece of his brain is missing?" And then in smaller letters underneath it, it says, "Well, it is." And they say that there's evidence, scientific evidence, there's a certain part of the brain that controls judgment of the consequences of your events. In other words, Roas and Nolad, and it's not fully developed in a young age. It gets developed more into the 20s, you know, gradual development, but it's not fully developed at that age. So it could be even physiological. That the Sefarno doesn't say. He says it's the nature of youth, it's a lack of experience. According to the insurance companies, it could be physiological. They're unable to be able to dehare, to realize the consequences of their actions. So therefore, you got to get Eitzah from Zakenim. But the Rabbah goes further than that. Because if that were the only reason, when it comes to a certain age, basically you've solved that. Rechavam, I believe, was 40 years old at the time he became king. It's mashma from the Psukim that these advisors that he went to speak to were more or less the same age. Asher gadlu imo, they grew up with him. By the time you're 40, the brain is fully developed, you know, you would be responsible for your actions. But you still don't have the same experience as a 60 or 70 year old. And there's no greater education than experience. It's just not the same. No matter what, you could realize it, but ein chacham kebala nisayon. And to actually experience something is, of course, experience is not an automatic teacher. People say there's such a thing as a person who has 10 years experience, and there's such a thing as a person who has 10 times 1 year experience. You have to be able to learn from your experience. But if you do, you have a greater perspective and a greater wisdom than somebody who did not. And the lashon that the Rabbah uses that is that the Eitzah of a Zaken is going to be better than the Eitzah of a Nar because of his experience. Imlo outside Hazaras. Except in very strange circumstances. It would be a strange thing. It could happen, but it would be an eye-catching thing that all other factors equal, if a young person was able to give better advice, then it could happen, but it would be unusual. Yes?
If each act by a young person is considered independent of each other, how come Michael Ben Sarmar, like, he has to do this thing and this thing and this thing, which is a build-up, but for all independence, and then there is no...
Well, it's not entirely independent, but over there we're judging his character. We're not talking that he had a plan. And there's, Ben Sarmar is not guilty because he has a plan to do this and do that. You see what his character is like because of the things that he did, and that you could judge. But that's so the experience. But getting back to this point is that the experience is a factor that really cannot be equalized by other gifts. I recall a story the Rashiva used to tell. I had actually forgotten the story, but somebody read it in one of the articles that they wrote after he passed away. Somebody mentioned it and reminded me of it. At one point in time, his mother had a wound in the leg that was not healing. And they went to a doctor, They went to a very senior, experienced doctor, and he took a look at it, examined it, and said, he thinks, give it time, he thinks the wound will eventually heal. They went to a younger doctor, who was supposed to be tops in his field, and he says, this is not going to heal, and if you leave it go, it could get worse, it could spread, we have to amputate. So the Rashiba decided not to amputate. Advised his mother not to amputate because we'll go with the guy with the experience. Anyway, a week or two passed and the wound was getting worse. Went back to the older doctor. He said, don't worry about it. I've seen this before. It's going to heal. Went back to the younger doctor. He said, see, I told you so. It's getting worse. So Rashiba said, he has no doubt that this young doctor was at least as smart as the older doctor and was up to date on all the newest innovations. Which, of course, was back then, you know, the 1950s. Today, they wouldn't be considered such new innovations. But there's nothing like experience. And he decided not to amputate, and a week or two passed, and the wound started healing, and it was fine. They didn't need the amputation. So that's living by these words. Experience, a person who's seen these wounds 100 times, 200, 500, 1,000 times before, could tell the difference, the way it looks. Even though the other guy may have been more better educated and have, you know, in a certain sense, better skills. But it's something that is not highly valued in today's society. After listening to the whole presidential campaign, we want change. McCain's biggest liability is that he's old. He's trying to make a case that Obama's not experienced, you know. I guess to some degree some people might go for that, but by and large our culture doesn't care about things like that too much. Now let's take a look at Pasuk Zion. Here's where we get to the actual Eitzah of the elder advisors. So they spoke to him, Vaydabrei Elav Leimar, they spoke to him saying, Im hayom tia eved, if today you will be a slave la'am hazeh to these people, va'avadatam and you serve them, va'anisam and you answer them, v'dibartam dvarim tovim and you say good things to them, va'hayu l'cha avadim kol yom, they will be your servants your entire life. The simple pshat is that they're advising Rechavam to fake them out. Right, this is a strategy. If you go ahead and do their will now and act nice to them and speak nicely, later you'll be able to do whatever you want. So it's a temporary investment and with long-term dividends. The Malbim elaborates on the breakdown of the things that the Zakenim said. One is Hayom. Im Hayom Tiaved. They advise, don't wait for the 3 days. Come back in less than 3 days, and you say, you know, it's clear, it's obvious, you guys are right, we're going to do it your way. So that it should create the impression that it wasn't such a big struggle, and it's not with reluctance that he's agreeing to them. So that's part one. Part two is, he says, Tia Eved, the answer you should say is not that I'm going to lighten your burden. What they asked for was, you're our master, but make the burden lighter than us. He says, no, say more than that. My whole purpose is to serve you. So of course the burden has to be lightened. But it's not because I am being so benevolent as a and lightening your burdens. Because, Adarabba, I'm here to serve you. I'm here to help you. So therefore, the burden will be light. And then, Vanisa Medirayim Dvarim Tovim, you should say other things that they didn't even ask for. You know, promise them, it sounds like real politics. You promise them all kinds of things, even the things that they didn't ask for. Everyone will love you, right? You'll get entrenched in office, and when you have the power and you have the control, all of a sudden it's a different Rechava.
Read my lips.
Right. So this is Pashim Shad, and some of the Mepharshim do learn that way. Basically, the strategy is wait till this blows over, and then you crack down. And the Malbim I mentioned, Barbanel, others learn Shan the Pasuk that way. However, there is a significant problem with this approach. That problem is a Gemara in Horius Daf Yudam Beis. The Gemara in Horius tells the story of Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua are on a boat, presumably either on the way to or the way back, when meeting with government officials in Rome. And they were talking, and Rabbi Yeshua said to Rabbi Gamliel, "Are you unaware of the desperate poverty of two of your Talmidim, Rabbi Elazar Chasma and Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda?" So Rabbi Gamliel, when they landed, summoned them in order to appoint them to public positions, in which they would either get a parnasa or indirectly, you know, it's a little bit of machlokas in the Mefarshim, whether he was going to appoint them to paying positions, and therefore they would have a parnasa, or he's going to appoint them as Rosh Yeshiva, who in those days did not get paid at all. Today they get paid a little, but in those days did not get paid at all. But once they have that stature, people will find ways, you know, of earning a parnasa. But that's what happened. So they did not come. They did not answer the summons. So Rabbi Gamliel sent for them again, insisted that they come, and he said to them, "I know why you didn't come. Because you are boreach min hagadula. You do not want greatness. You do not want sarara. You don't want to rule over people. But do you think I am giving you sarara? Avdus ani nosen lechem. I'm giving you servitude. A person who is working for the tzibur is an eved to the tzibur. And therefore, it is not greatness, but on the contrary, it's responsibility." And the Gemara concludes, simon ledavar rechavam. An indication of this is what you find by Rechavam, because what it means is the Atzah Zekenim. It says, "Im hayom tia eved al mazeh, then bo yavanu chal yamin." Now, if the pshat in this pasuk was that this was simply a strategy, this was a trick, this was politics, so they really weren't telling Rechavam to be an eved. They were telling Rechavam to pretend that you're an eved, to fake them out. Then you'll gain control, and then you'll really let him have it. So where do you see from the story of Rechavam that it's not Sarara, but Abdus? As a consequence of that, so there are answers. The Kli Yakar suggests that there are certain nuances in the language of the Pasuk that indicate that besides the fact that this is a strategy, but it's also true. And he says, for example, the pasuk is Vaydaber Elav Lemor. Lemor always implies that there's an additional message besides what's being said. So he says what they were telling him is, listen, this strategy is a more effective strategy, but you should know it's really true. But if you don't want to listen to us on that, this is still the best strategy in order to maintain your control. Also, he's Medayif in the Lashon, Im Hayom Hazeh Tia Eved. He should have just said, like he says later, "V'nisim v'dibartan adram tovim." So you should say, "Emor lahem ani eved." Say to them that I'm an eved. But ti eved means you really should be one. So whatever it is, basically the Kli Yakar says there are mashmos in the lashon that indicate that this was a true message and it wasn't just a strategy. The Iyun Yaakov on the Gemara has a different approach. The Iyun Yaakov says that the atzas, the Atzas HaKenim really was not a trick. Atzas HaKenim was saying, starting today, not only for today, starting today you should be an Eved. And you should understand that your role as a Melech is to be an Eved to the Yom, and to serve them. And you should be Dvartim Dvarim Tovim. And then you will see that they will follow you, they will be loyal to you. But it was, he did not mean to say, do this now and then later, You'll double cross them later. You'll hit them when they're not looking. But rather, this was the Eitzah was you really should be an Eved, and that's what the Gemara means in Horias, which makes it a little bit more understandable why Rechavam didn't listen. Right? If it was just a strategy, it's like a little bit hard as it is. The pasuk says, "As min Hashemayim," he should have listened. But this maybe not have been what he wanted to hear. He didn't want to be an Eved to the Yom. He wanted Sarara. But Yeh Mashi Yeh, that's how the Iyun Yaakov in Horius learns. I think it could be that the Rabag is learning the same way. The Rabag doesn't explicitly say it, but he derives a message in his famous Toalios he derives a message from this story that if a person, the way to have leadership and to achieve gedula is by being humble and serving the people. If you're humble and you serve the people, you will rule over them. And if you are a balgaiva and you attempt to crush them, you will end up losing your gedula. And this is what we see from the story of Rechava. So that means, I think, that it's not a strategy. Because had Rechava first acted humble and so on, and then acted with gaya and authority, so he would have lost the people later, according to the Rabbah. But that type of behavior is counterproductive. We can spend a few minutes discussing why. But I think I mentioned before we're going to have to end a little bit early today, so I think I'm going to save that for our next session, which will be in 2 weeks. Next week we're off. We'll come back and Mr. Shem in 2 weeks.